from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Chair.
We're really mellow today.
Yeah, man.
Is it that we don't have any energy or that we're a total peace?
I think we're a total peace.
I think I just feel so peaceful. This is like the new Woodstock, man. This is like God's Woodstock.
Yeah.
Without the pregnancy problems.
No, no.
Yeah.
No.
This is nice. You ever come down from this spiritual high?
I feel good, man.
Yeah, I come down from it all the time.
Yeah, man.
And that's when I have to walk by faith.
I know. I hate that.
Not perception.
I hate when we get together and we're discussing the things of God and His grace stuff we're talking about, and then, you know, you got to go back to your daily grind.
No, but really, but that was in the old way. I don't experience that. I mean, I know, you know, they talk about the spiritual high on Sunday when you go to church and you come back to the daily grind, but this message more conducive to it's a steadier walk.
Yeah, it evens you out.
Yeah, we don't go for those spiritual caffeine highs like Pentecostalism, where you have to get into the energy, get into the spirit.
That's true of religion in general. Most Christian churches, you can't have a Christian church without beautiful lighting, plush seating, and all the things that appeal to the soul.
Well, everything is geared to
soul-ish.
Get your emotions.
Flesh and, yeah.
I mean, remember that stuff I had, the Java Monster, that crazy caffeinated drink? Well, religion is one big push to become caffeinated, and you can't help but come. I came down from that stuff, man. When I walked out of here today, I was like, blah, blah, blah. It's the same with the caffeinated Christianity, if
exactly.
I can call it that.
Right.
That's a good title for the show, Caffeinated Christianity.
Caffeinated?
But this is such a contrast to it because it's God's operation, it's God's work. And like I say, I think it's the greatest, the great picture to see our faith as the caboose.
Yeah.
That just hangs on to what God has done. We're along for the ride. It's not like we don't do anything, but all of our doing now is done in confidence that God's the one actually doing it.
Yeah.
Was it Philippians 2, 12 and 13? Work out your own salvation. That's just the first part of that. I often hear that's been quoted to me. There's this proof we have to work out our salvation.
Yeah.
That you got to read what comes after. For it is God working in you, both to will and to work for the sake of His delight.
Yeah.
It's God working.
It's not even talking about justification there. It's talking about service. So, I mean, people get this wrong, period, because they're wrong foundationally. They don't understand justification. But that's another one about sanctification. God works in us for that.
Oh, we got to talk about that briefly because we promised a definition of sanctification.
Well, we got to.
I hate those theological terms.
I want to
know that if it has if it has more than four syllables, we need to bring it.
But we're gonna hold up. I want to get. You were talking about this caffeine high, and I want to get back to what we were talking about yesterday because this is important. Peter, instead of a caffeine high, here's Peter talking about something they couldn't see or perceive, right? Remember we talked about the grace that was given to the circumcision with their evangel?
Yeah.
And Peter talked about, he said, in whom not seeing at present, yet believing, you are exulting with joy and joy unspeakable and glorious. They were expecting him, and they believed, and this belief brought joy and exulting.
But they had walked with him. Hang on to your thought. Don't lose it.
Yeah.
They had walked with him. So I bring this back that their faith, even though they didn't see it at the time, they did see it. They walked with him. They talked with him. And he gave them a living expectation. Faith must be founded on facts.
Yes.
And so even the circumcision, even us, we have facts. We don't see them manifested. But we went to, when we talked about Abraham last week, the fact that we're justified, and Peter and James, they had the fact that they had walked with Jesus Christ, and 500 people saw him after he had raised from the dead. So their expectation, I want to make that clear, is based on fact.
Right. Well, we talked about there's measures of grace. We talked about the grace in which we stand, Romans 5, and that's where we started. This is what we talked about yesterday, that we are justified by faith. We may be having peace. And we have access into this grace in which we stand. This grace.
this grace, this in particular grace, as opposed to the grace in which the circumcision stands.
Right, and we compared Peter's
different
the grace.
Measure of grace.
Now, in Ephesians 2, and I start quoting this at the end of the program yesterday, I want to get into this measure of grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Yet God, being rich in mercy..." Now, notice, there are measures of mercy. He's rich in mercy to
us.
I'm
sorry, I was writing a note. Where are you?
Ephesians 2:4.
Ephesians 2:4.
"Because of his vast love with which he loves us." John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world this way," right?
Thus God loves the world.
Yeah, and that's John writing concerning circumcision things. But here it talks about vast love. There's even measures of love.
Yeah, there's an
vast.
Adverb. Is vast an adverb or an adjective? It describes the love, yeah.
Yeah. "And which he loves us, we also being dead to the offenses and the lusts, vivifies us together in Christ. In grace are you saved, and rouses us together, and seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus." Now, we said before, and we started out this week regarding somebody thinks we're undermining Israel, but we saw that Israel's expectation
they're
is
perfectly
joyous and
perfectly
glorious.
Happy.
And Peter's fully aware of what's going on with the Gentiles.
Right.
Now, here's talking about the grace shown to us. And it says that we are seated together among the celestials in Christ Jesus. Now, Peter could have never said that. David, Job, none of the Hebrew Old Testament writers could ever said anything about being seated among the celestials. Right? Now, why does he seat us among the celestials in Christ Jesus? And it says that in the oncoming eons, go back to martinzender.com and look on our show for the eons. We discussed the eons.
Mm-hmm.
The oncoming eons are a reference to the millennial kingdom, millennium, and the new heavens and new earth. That in the oncoming eons, to the two to come, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
There's now, another qualifier, transcendent riches.
Let's pause here for a second. Notice this. In the next two eons, the millennium, new heavens, new earth, Israel will be in their land, enjoying their promises, ruling this world for God, and bringing people to God. Right.
Although in the new earth, they're in a different.
It's a different.
Yes. But still, Israel still has supremacy even on the new earth.
They will have supremacy. That being said, that's grace.
Sure.
That they stand in. Peter talked about this grace, and they were waiting for this grace. But during these oncoming eons, he's going to be displaying, put on display, the question is to who? Who's he going to be displaying this to? Well, he's going to be displaying it to the celestial beings, and the people on earth are going to know about this.
People don't realize that there is this vast host of celestial beings who need to learn about the grace of God.
Exactly, and we're the ones, the members of the body of Christ are the ones who are going to be used by God. We are going to be used by God among the celestials in a very similar way that Israel is going to be used by God on the earth.
And this message was unheard of
until
Paul received it from the resurrected Christ.
Right. Now, that in the oncoming eons he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Notice the phrase, in Christ Jesus. This is regarding the ascended, the exalted Christ. Peter talks about Jesus Christ. Paul, Christ Jesus. These are transcendent. We talked about the measure of grace. We have a grace that's transcendent. What does it transcend?
The circumcision grace.
Exactly.
Noah's grace, the grace that's even shown a little bit of grace under law. It transcends every demonstration of grace heretofore.
It's right. And this is this is not arrogance. It's not of, because it goes on to say, "For in grace through faith are you saved, then this is not out of you." We can't boast in this. It's not out of us. The position we occupy as members of the body of Christ is not something we can brag about. There's nothing we did to accomplish this. This is God's work through and through. We are his achievement. And, you know, this is transcendent grace. This is the measure of grace not shown to the circumcision. I have to stop. I'm just overcome. You got to help finish here. I'm overcome.
You speechless. This is radio history. This is radio history.
It is.
We talked about how unworthy those people, other nations, were. The shock that they go from worshiping trees on Tuesday and being justified in Christ on Wednesday. Talked about the jealousy of Israel. And here they are going to be snatched away into the celestial realms. And they're going to be the display. We are going to be display vessels of God's grace. Now, we mentioned earlier how grace fits in with sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, consider your calling, brethren. There are not many wise, not many noble among you. For God uses the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid to demonstrate this grace. How else would you demonstrate grace apart from unwise, ignoble, and stupid vessels? As soon as you start getting a swelled head about being in this amazing, exclusive call called the body of Christ, you got to remember the reason you're in this is to display God's grace. And the only way you can display God's grace is by being unwise, weak, ignoble, or stupid, because God's grace can only shine against a backdrop of unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid people. And Dan and I sit before you today as prime examples of this. And so if we're display vessels of grace, I don't think we're going to be up in heaven going, yes, oh yeah, we're the people and wisdom dies with us. Because grace is apparently going to be still ongoing in the coming eons.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, we're going to remember everything we went through in this life. I have a theory. This isn't scripture, but I have a theory.
Okay, Einstein,
lay it on me, man. I think that for the eons, Jesus Christ is going to maintain the injuries, the scars.
I agree.
On his body for the eons, because his blood is what made all this happen.
Right.
And that blood will never be forgotten. And the injuries, the thorns, the scars, the nail holes in his wrists are going to be an aeonian testament to the love of God, and it's never going to be forgotten for the eons. We're going to gaze upon the glorified Christ. Even then, we're going to see what it took, and we're going to appreciate that. Likewise, if we're going to be demonstrators of the grace of God, then we're still going to be, in a way, ignoble, weak, and stupid, but glorified.
Think about this. Those who listen to our show, a lot of them believe what we believe regarding the consummation when God will be all in all as the Savior of all mankind. Isn't it a shame to think that so many people ignore this teaching of the eons? This is the aeonian teaching, and people are all concerned with looking to the farthest reaches of the future when God will be all in all. Look what God is doing now. Look what he's doing for the eons. It's our privilege to discover these things, to learn them, and seek to walk worthy of them, because this is what he's doing in the eons. It's an aeonian purpose.
Folks, there is such a difference today between being a believer and an unbeliever. If you're a believer today, you can thank God for it. You have such an expectation. There are great times ahead, and I'm not talking about the upcoming weekend. I'm talking about the big weekend, the coming kingdom and the new heavens and the new earth. We've only seen the beginning of the grace of God. Paul says that in the eons to come, God is going to display the riches of his grace, but we still haven't seen all of it.
Enoch, before he died, would sit in front of the window and wait for Christ because he wanted to be snatched away to see his Lord for that time.
We're looking forward to seeing the Lord with all of you. Thank you for listening.
Have a great weekend.
We treasure each one of you. Stop back here Monday.